Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always just a privilege to be in studio to answer your questions. Again, the questions come in from all around the world. The number to dial to get your question answered live on air today, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Do remember our contact information. I'll be mentioning resources during the broadcast, that contact information on the web, of course, equip.org, but via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And resource consultants, as always, are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Just a couple of words as we begin about the apocalyptic madness that surrounds us. I saw a full-page ad in yesterday's USA Today pretending chaos and natural disasters that are about to come upon the earth. In this particular ad, they said that a national Sunday law is going to be the definitive mark of the beast, that Protestant America will have formed an image of the Roman hierarchy, which is, in their view, the image of the beast found in Revelation chapter 13. Well, you combine all of that with the feverish grid that we find in the four blood moons hysteria, and no wonder so many pagans dismiss Christians as insipid idiots. John Hagee, Jonathan Kahn, James Dobson, a host of Christian leaders are selling fear. And they become pretty good at it. They had a lot of dry runs. Obviously, the millennium bug comes to mind, and people have forgotten about that. But now we have the four blood moons. This Sunday night's total lunar eclipse is the fourth in the lunar tetrad, and the tetrad is said to portend some catastrophic, world-changing event, and that event will also in some way be related to Israel. John Hagee, for one, predicts an end-of-the-world type event that can be classified as doomsday or Armageddon or apocalypse. It's a world-shaking event, and he's very clear as to when it's going to happen. It's going to happen between April 2014 and October 2015, September 28th, to be exact. In other words, Sunday night. When I do the show on Monday, we will have seen whether Hagee's prediction has been fulfilled. Because he's talking about a global disaster like an asteroid, for example, hitting the Earth, an event that he says is so momentous that, and these are his exact words, world history is going to change forever, quote unquote. The question is, what will the Kahns, the Hagees, the Dobsons of the world say when the global disaster does not take place as predicted? I guess I can sort of answer the question without being a prophet. Why? Because there's a track record here. They'll just write another book, or they'll promote another book. In 1996, the harbinger was the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin. And the book written by John Hagee, it was the beginning of the end. Well, not a whole lot happened. So in 1999, it became the millennium bug. The book was From Daniel to Doomsday. Note carefully that word, doomsday. That, by the way, was written in 1999. It was supposed to be fulfilled as the calendar year turned to 2000. In 2008, the sign was an economic recession, and the book was Financial Armageddon. In 2013, of course, the Four Blood Moons. It was published along with the shrill prediction that between April 2014 and October 2015, as just mentioned, world history is going to change forever. Now, obviously, if this fourth blood moon is a sign of some unmistakable calamity of apocalyptic proportions, it has to occur between right now and Monday. At least you would think, based on the rhetoric. And you would also think that these guys would now be shaking in their collective boots. I remember when a pastor of the Pensacola Revival started a prediction on when I was going to die. And so we started a countdown on the radio. He said it was going to be 90 days, and we started the countdown. When we got down to about 20 days, he called up and he apologized. He said, "Well, I said the Holy Spirit told me this. But the Holy Spirit really didn't tell me this. I was lying. I'm sorry, I should never have done it." Well, I don't know that they're going to go that far. I think they have their excuses, I'm just guessing, but probably fairly well rehearsed. Again, how do I know this? Because this has happened over and over ad nauseum ad infinitum. One thinks back to Edgar Wisenhunt. He predicted September 1988. He had 88 reasons for 88. It was 88 reasons why the rapture had to be 1988. There are a lot of others that were predicting the same thing because it was based on a formula that was very easy to compute. Add 40 to the time that Israel becomes a nation, subtract 7 for the tribulation in 1981 was the great day that didn't happen. So 88 became the day. Then when that didn't happen, it was September 1989. That didn't happen. I think he ended up just dying and he's no longer on the scene. And then we had Harold Camping. He predicted the end of September 6, 1994. That didn't happen. So he changed the date to September 29. And then, as I recall, it was October 2nd. And then he predicted the end would finally be, I think this is now the fourth date he came up with, May 21st, 2011. And when that didn't happen, he tweaked it again, saying that it was a spiritual event. Sounds sort of like the Jehovah's Witnesses. And the real world event would happen in October of 2011. I recall saying on the Bible Answerman broadcast, I think I mentioned this yesterday, that I told Harold Camping, look, if you really believe all this is true, do me a favor. Deed over all your momentous and very valuable assets to the Christian Research Institute. We don't believe it's going to happen. We're still going to be around doing ministry. Well, his response was, I was a sign of the growing apostasy. And this just keeps going on and on and on. The new book will come out. Another book will come out. And you wonder when we will ever learn. Remember that song, "When Will We Ever Learn? When Will We Ever Learn?" I think it's Peter, Paul, and Mary. I think that's my question for the Christian population that is gobbling up this nonsense. Why is this on my heart and mind? I mean, I was doing some physical therapy this morning, and while I was doing it, that was the big question. What do you think is going to happen? And it's on the lips of everybody because these books are selling like hotcakes. And everybody's saying, you know, these are credible Christian leaders. How can you deny what these credible Christian leaders under the unction of the Holy Spirit is saying? And you think, have you not seen this game before? Why are you falling for it again? You bought the generator, you bought the freeze-dried food, you bought the books. Why again? When are we going to learn? When are we going to be satisfied with the fact that Jesus said he would appear a second time, and he will. And in the meantime, there are going to be all kinds of tribulations. You think the 700,000 Syrians that were crucified or beheaded or exiled, no longer in Syria, haven't gone through an apocalypse? What we're called to be is not those who discredit the name of Christ through our apocalyptic fervor, but rather those who proclaim the name of Christ and give those in the media that are now laughing at the Hagies of the world, give them a reason to believe that Jesus Christ is not only real, but demonstrated that he is Lord of all, because he was able to make predictions that really came to pass. When are we going to learn that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, because its predictions cannot be pawned off to good guessing, common sense, or luck? Remember Nebuchadnezzar? He had a bunch of shysters in his court, and he knew it. So he had a dream, and he wanted the interpretation of the dream, but he knew that the court jesters, well, they were supposed to be those who could predict the future and those who could interpret dreams, but they were no better than jesters. He knew that they would probably have a trick up their sleeve. I don't know why he kept him in his court, but he did. And so he was really troubled by this dream, and he asked them to tell him not only the meaning of the dream, but the dream itself. And they said, we can't do that. You tell us the dream, we'll tell you the meaning. He said, no, you tell me the dream and the meaning. They said, no. The way this works is you tell us the dream, we'll give you the meaning. He says, if you don't tell me the dream and the meaning, you're all going to die. Well, those who have read their Bibles know that Daniel came to the rescue. He said, I can't predict the future. I can't tell dreams. Only God can do that. So God can speak through me. And so in the end, he was able to give a succession of nations. And God can also tell me what went on in your head while you're sleeping at night. And so Daniel was able to tell the king and save the court jesters in the process, not only the dream, but the meaning of the dream, which, by the way, a lot of the modern-day prophecy pundits now distort. But that's another story. The point of that is simply to say that Nebuchadnezzar, though a Babylonian monarch, he was the mastermind behind what happened to the southern kingdom and its destruction. He's the one who destroyed the temple, but he was smart enough at least to know that he was being had and how he was being had. He was a pagan. If this pagan could figure it out, one would think that the Christians in the culture today could figure it out as well. Lord knows we need discernment skills now more than ever. I take no pleasure in saying what I've said, quite frankly. It just grieves me, and the reason I'm saying it is not to once again show the John Hagees, the Jonathan Cahns, and the others for what they are. They factor very little in my thinking in the broad scheme of things. The reason I'm saying what I'm saying is because I know from firsthand experience the people who are making life decisions based on these false predictions. It's enough to know in this world you will have trouble. Take heart. Jesus Christ has overcome the world. It is enough to know that if you're faithful and fruitful, you can lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not disrupt where thieves do not break in and steal. It's enough to know that where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Don't get addicted to these prophecy pundits. You can hear them on Christian television every single day. You can hear them on Christian radio. Their schemes are elaborate, but they're simply not true. And each one listening to my voice can know that beyond the peradventure of a doubt by learning to read the Bible for all it's worth. Dear saints, let not be a microcosm of the world, like magicians or stage hypnotists. Let us be change agents, cultural initiators. Have done with the nonsense. Turn your heart towards home. Make a difference while there's yet time. We'll go to your calls as soon as we come back from a station break. Had this on my heart, wanted to share it. We'll be answering your questions in just a moment. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Stay tuned for that.
Prayer is the fuel of global missions, and Christians can change the world through prayer. The book Pray for the World is a new tool meant to mobilize immeasurably more prayer among Christians. It utilizes the latest research to help direct Christian prayers for the global church. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thank you for your gift in support of CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after the break. Because life and truth are under attack by secularists who deem the Bible nothing more than primitive superstitions and fairy tales, Christians are called to give reasons for what and why they believe to highly educated skeptics and atheists. Wisdom, however, warns against engaging in a defense of the one true faith without adequate training and preparation. The book by J. Warner Wallace, God's Crime Scene, A Cold Case Detective Examines the Evidence for a Divinely Created Universe, will equip you to present and defend the arguments and evidence for God's existence. To receive God's Crime Scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org, equip.org. Did you know less than 1% of the leaders of house churches in China have any seminary training? And only 2% would even qualify for seminary given education levels and income. To help remedy this situation, CRI has set in motion a 10-year Going Global initiative to provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish. Your prayers and support are vital to fulfilling CRI's Going Global initiative. Toward that end, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God is doing throughout the world and will help direct our prayers for the global church. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thanks for your gift in support of CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. In The Atheist's Guide to Reality, Enjoying Life Without Illusions, Duke University professor and new atheist philosopher Alex Rosenberg bites the bullet and declares that to be a consistent atheist, you'll have to be comfortable with a certain amount of nihilism, and just in case, there's always Prozac. Because a growing multitude of college students are drinking deeply from this nihilistic nonsense, we shouldn't be surprised that so many of our national spiritual and cultural indicators are headed south. Graham Veal's concise book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, is an accessible, practical resource for responding to the nihilistic nonsense of New Atheist. To receive your copy of New Atheism, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-transforming outreaches. Or visit equip.org. CRI's Going Global initiative will equip Christians in the Global South with materials on apologetics, Bible literacy, and countering cults, all in their native language, Mandarin and Spanish in particular. We need your prayers and support to accomplish this initiative. To support CRI's Going Global initiative, please call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and whatever you can do to help us this month would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. We're having a bad month economically. I don't know if it has anything to do with the tetrad of blood moons, but we are behind economically this month, so we would deeply appreciate those who want to stand shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry in the battle for life and truth to support us this month. And if you can make a generous donation, it would be deeply appreciated. Again, you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Also, check out our new global initiative, very, very worth supporting. It's a 10-year initiative that's going to make a dramatic difference for time and for eternity. Stand with us in our global initiative. You can give, again, on the web in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Brian. He's listening in Tennessee on the web. Hi.
Hi, Hank.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I support the ministry and wholeheartedly believe in all that we're doing through it. Hank, my question has to do with John chapter 15, verse 13, and Romans chapter 5. Kind of like verse 5 through verse 10. And the question that I had for you was, when Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, is he making a statement there about the extent of human love? Because I see it seems like in Romans 5, there's a type of love that once the Holy Spirit is shed abroad in a person's heart that comes from God, that will actually die for an enemy. And I'm not sure if I see or have ever heard of a human being dying for their enemies. That's my question.
Yeah, what Jesus does say in the Sermon on the Mount is that we should not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, just let him have your cloak as well. And if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. He's using hyperbole here to underscore the supremacy of relationship over goods, a great inversion between the human order and the kingdom order. The human order says you return harm for harm. The kingdom principle is to return good for evil. But in the passage that you're talking about, in John chapter 15, Jesus says that greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And of course, he's talking about what he's going to do for his disciples. He says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And he goes on to point out that the world will hate them. So he's talking about the hatred of the world towards the disciples, who he has now not called just servants, but friends. And in that vein, Jesus says, if the world hates you, You know that the world hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love its own. Yet, because you're not of the world, because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. A little later on, he says, I have not come and spoken to them. And I came and I spoke to them, but they didn't listen. And they have, therefore, no excuse for their sin. He who hates me, he hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. In other words, here Jesus comes into a context of religious leaders that know that he is the only one that can walk through the doorway of the Old Testament prophets, and yet they hate him, and they hate the Father who sent him. And of course, that hatred is manifest because they hate him, though he performs miracles that are authentic and readily identifiable as so. So he's basically just saying in John chapter 15, in terms of the disciples, you are my friends. You're not just my servants, but you are my friends. But look, by being my friends, you are going to be hated just as I am hated and just as the Father is being hated.
Hank, I got a quick follow-up question on that, if I may. When the Lord said, love your enemies, thank you for that answer, by the way. That was a great answer, and that did help. When Jesus said, love your enemies, and this may be a silly question, but he's not talking about our invisible spiritual enemies at that point. We have kind of a different relationship with spiritual wickedness, so to speak, in high places. They are our enemies, but we don't have...
That's not what Christ is talking about. I mean, Christ died for his enemies, and we are Christians, those who take the sacred name of Christ upon our lips. In Romans 5:8, I think you alluded to that in the prologue to your question, the Bible tells us that God demonstrates his love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we are to emulate the love of Jesus Christ. It's easy to love those who love you. It's much harder to love someone who despitefully uses or abuses you. And we are called to show love to the world, to turn the cheek, to be those who express the love of Christ to a lost and searching world. And in doing that, we'll do what Christ did. We will, through the power of the Spirit, be able to transform hearts through the love of Christ.
Okay. Thank you, Hank.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone line. Shirley, Chicago, Illinois. Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Nice talking to you, Shirley.
Yes. My question is, what does the Bible say about organ donation? Is it right to do or not?
Well, the Bible doesn't specifically talk about organ donations, but there certainly is a principle. The principle is that the province of life is the province of God. It is not the province of human beings. And therefore, we are not to take life. We are not to hasten the advent of death. What we are to do is leave that prerogative to God. As far as organ donation is concerned, I think it's a very relevant question that you're asking, because organ transplantation certainly in our time has saved so many lives. But there are ethical issues regarding determining when a patient is dead. Brain death has been widely accepted and has been changed to determining death by biology to death by philosophy. And donation after cardiac death has evolved into an alternative method where a patient is allowed to die in a controlled manner in attempt to save organs for the purposes of organ donation. And both methods of determining death have the potential to decrease our human value at the end of life. And I think therein lies the question. If you are trying to control the dying process so that you can harvest organs, there's an ethical problem with that, in very much the same way that there's an ethical problem with harvesting baby parts by killing preborn children.
Okay.
So there's nothing wrong with organ donation. It's just that you don't want to be involved in trying to play God with respect to the dying process so that you can harvest organs.
Okay. So if you want to donate an organ, you can. If you don't, you don't have to. Is that right?
Well, and I think it is a wonderful thing to donate organs. It would be something that is very, very valuable for another person. It is a demonstration of love. So given the right ethical considerations, it is a wonderful thing to do.
So is there a scripture that I could go through to?
Not in terms of organ donation, because the Bible doesn't speak about organ donation, but certainly there is scripture with respect to the fact that God is the arbiter of life and death, and therefore we cannot take that into our hands. In fact, to give you sort of not only a quick answer to this, but also a resource, in an upcoming edition, I think it's the next edition of the Christian Research Journal, there's an article that is titled Postmodern Death. It's subtitled Organ Transplantation and Human Value. It's by a doctor named Richard Poupard. And I think that that article, along with explaining this fully, will give you the biblical insights as well.
So now, where do I go to get that Christian Research Journal?
Well, you can just hang on. That's one way. The other is you can subscribe to the Christian Research Journal on the web at equip.org.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll hang on.
Okay. Nice talking to you, Shirley. And we are coming too close to a station break. Take another call in this segment. Let me say, in terms of an event that I'm going to be at in Northern California, I'm going to be in Sacramento, California, October 9th at an apologetics event. And I'll be sharing a message on the relevancy of Christian apologetics in the 21st century. The event will be held at St. Paul Baptist Church. I've been there many times. It is it is one of the wonderful worship experiences that I've had over the years. Just fantastic. And you can find out further information on this by contacting area code 916-524-2853. Also, you can go to the website. It's www.aycce.org. Again, that's aycce.org. Or you can simply go to equip.org. This is a subject, of course, that's dear to my heart. Apologetics, the defense of the faith, along with biblical literacy and countering the cults. All of that taking place October the 9th. Check it out on the web at equip.org, or call the numbers or check out the website that I just mentioned or referenced. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And one final reminder, if I can squeeze this in before the time runs out, you can become a CRI support team member by committing to support the Christian Research Institute and its outreaches around the world with your ongoing support and appreciation. You'll receive a personalized copy of one of my books. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. We'll be right back.
Mandarin, Spanish, and English are the world's three mega languages. Yet very few resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults are available in Mandarin and Spanish. CRI's Going Global initiative seeks to provide millions of Christians with these much-needed resources in their native languages. To support CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back in a moment. Richard Dawkins' grasp of philosophical arguments wouldn't earn him a passing grade in a freshman philosophy course, but he doesn't mean to deal with the questions that theists are asking. He simply ridicules his opponent's position. In New Atheism, A Survival Guide, Graham Veal explains, the new atheist stance is that the reasons for theism must be so bad, why even read about them? My goodness, no, you'd just dismiss them. Veal goes on to show that the new atheists have not offered one original argument for atheism, but they've plenty of original insults. New Atheism offers an accessible, practical resource for countering new atheist attacks. To receive your copy of New Atheism, A Survival Guide, as our thank you gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Multitudes of Christian brothers and sisters in the Global South urgently need basic materials to ground their faith. That's why CRI has embarked on a 10-year strategy called Going Global. This initiative will provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish, two of the world's largest mega-languages. Since prayer is the fuel of global missions, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God in Christ is doing in countries throughout the world to help direct our prayers for the global church. Hank Hanegraaff and CRI will be using this vital resource to pray strategically for our Going Global initiative. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Cold case detective J. Warner Wallace would never allow a divine intruder to enter his life. Yet over time, something changed, and he now sees himself as a guest in the Creator's universe. Detective Wallace is not a theist because his parents believed or because he needed to fulfill a void in his life. Rather, he says, "I believe God exists because the evidence leaves me no reasonable alternative." God's crime scene. A cold case detective examines the evidence for a divinely created universe, presents the cosmological, biological, mental, and moral cases for God. To receive God's crime scene as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. CRI's Going Global initiative will equip Christians in the Global South, including Asia, Africa, Latin America, and Oceania. The Going Global initiative will provide materials on apologetics, biblical literacy, and cults, all in their native language, Mandarin and Spanish in particular. As a thank you for your prayerful and strategic gift today, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of Pray for the World. It's a wonderful resource for changing the world through prayer, and one we'll be using at CRI to pray strategically for our Going Global initiative. To support CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Mike. He's listening in Arkansas on Bot Radio. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike. Hank, I'm sorry, this is Mike. I want to thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And I wanted to ask you, in light of the new, a fairly new social phenomenon that we're seeing in the United States, I try to filter my perspectives and worldview through that of God's word. And my prayer is to see people as God sees them and to love people as Christ loves them. My question to you is this, and it's an issue, it pertains to an issue that is almost anathema for our leadership, our national civic leadership, to speak on. It's very politically sensitive, and there's not a whole lot of discussion about it publicly among leaders and clergy, and that is the scriptural basis for the Black Lives Matter movement. I wanted to kind of ask you that and get your perspective on that and maybe help me with that, because I've been asking that question. There's not a whole lot online, and I really think it's an interesting question to ask.
Sure. Well, what makes an Australian Aborigine the equal of a Tiger Woods? What makes a human embryo the moral equivalent of a President Obama? The answer is revelation. Reason without revelation at one time, not all that long ago, led scientists to postulate that blacks are inferior to whites. Not only that, but women inferior to men. But never reason informed by revelation. The Bible is clear. We are created in the Imago Dei, the image of God. You see that in Genesis chapter 1 or Acts chapter 17. And that makes all the difference in the world. It's the image of God that ensures that a Down syndrome child is afforded the same dignity given to a distinguished scientist. As long as we recognize that we're made in the image and likeness of God, then we recognize that all lives matter. And thus you will never hear people chanting, "Pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon." The reason is that blue lives matter. In other words, all human life is precious, again, because of the salient fact that we are created in the image and likeness of God. In fact, to take the life of another person is a capital punishment for that very reason. You are taking someone who bears the image and likeness of God and taking that person's life. All lives matter. And again, there is no distinction of race. We may have varying amounts of pigmentation in our skin, different colored eyes. We may be different genders, but human beings matter because, again, of the Imago Dei.
That's a great point, and I fully subscribe to that sentiment. However, I find it disturbing and, to a degree, appalling that it is there comes such backlash for leaders who express that same sentiment.
Well, I don't know why there should be, but again, I have given a bit of context. The fact of the matter is that, well, we say the Imago Dei it means that we give everyone the dignity they deserve as those created in the image of God. The Imago Darwini leads in quite an opposite direction. For example, if you think about the writings of the late Stephen Jay Gould, he wrote about the evolutionary notion of recapitulation. It served as a basis for Dr. Down actually labeling Down syndrome mongoloid idiocy. Why? Because he thought it represented a throwback to the Mongolian stage in human evolution. And Gould ended up pointing out that the term mongoloid was first applied to mentally defective people because, as he put it, it was then commonly believed that the mongoloid race had not yet evolved to the status of the Caucasian race. Well, that led to a convenient focus for the racism of white scientists. They look to the activities of their own children for comparison with normal adult behavior in lower races. So for neo-Darwinians like Richard Dawkins today, the Imago Dei is a little more than a troublesome myth, and therefore a human being has no more intrinsic value than a banana. And once you go down that road, you can justify saying that a person's life does not matter for one reason, another reason, or no reason at all.
Yeah, absolutely, Hank. That's why I'm a huge fan of yours and a huge fan of your ministry. And I appreciate you sharing your perspective with me. That will help me kind of pray on this. And my prayer, like I said earlier, is that we, until Christ does come, and if he does decide to come, if it is the will of the Father that Christ comes sometime next month, then so be it. But until then, my prayer is to help God show me how to love his people who Christ died for all of us, as he sees them, as he loves them. So I appreciate your time, Hank. I appreciate you spending time answering that question.
And thanks for those concluding sentiments. They're very heartfelt and helpful to the audience, no doubt. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Keith. He's in Pennsylvania listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Keith.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Hank, my question is, my wife and I have two children. We're early 40s, and we decided years ago that we're going to stop. However, our church and our pastor convinced us that we should keep on trying, and my wife and I decided it is what we wanted to do. Unfortunately, over the last few years, we've had a few miscarriages, and we're finally pregnant again, about 6 weeks, 7 weeks. But the doctor we're seeing has given us mixed news. And it has my wife on edge, has me on edge. So I wanted to find out, is there somewhere in the Bible that I could help my wife and help my wife or read to my wife and help encourage her to keep on moving down the positive thinking path? It's not negative news. It's just not our numbers, our levels aren't as high as the doctors want them to be right now.
You know, I love the words of the 139th Psalm where David said, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depth of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Now think about that for a moment. A zygote, a conceptus, has full personhood from the moment of conception, as I've clarified, not a fully developed personality, quite obviously, but full personhood from the moment of conception. When a woman conceives, or when a woman, when you have a fertilized human egg, you have a person. And what's beautiful about that is that that person is a body-soul unity at the moment that they are conceived. And therefore, the beautiful reality shines forth that those miscarriages are human beings that you will see in eternity. One of the things that took that truth and underscored it in living color for me was a little girl named Elise. She was a frozen embryo. So she was a fertilized human egg, and she was frozen I don't know how many years, but she was adopted by these wonderful people. And so these people took this zygote, this conceptus, and it was implanted in the womb of a woman named Chris, and that zygote was brought to full term, and now is this beautiful, talented young girl named Elise. I have a daughter named Elise as well, and in fact, they were exchanging some mail the other day. But I've seen her in living color, and so this is not just some kind of a philosophical contention on my part. It's plain old experimental evidence, and this beautiful young lady was in my office. In fact, in the studio, I was doing the broadcast just a few weeks ago. She's now 9 years old, and I have her picture in the studio with me. But yeah, this is a beautiful reality that you have children, even though you do not see them in this world. You will see them when Jesus appears a second time, because they will then flourish to what they would have been had sin never entered the world, had death never entered the world. So that's a great hope to cling to, and it's a great promise to look forward to.
You had me a little choked up. I didn't catch where in the Bible you
Yeah, it's Psalm 139. And you know, that psalm is beautiful from first to last. I just quote a little part of it. But if you look at the beginning of that psalm, it starts out with, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out, my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." I memorized this psalm many years ago, and during the difficult times of life, I have referred to it and just, I don't know how to put it, salivated over the words, if you will, turned them over and over again in my head, recognizing that God has everything under control. His tapestry is perfect. We sometimes see the jangled edges of it from the underside, but the upper side, which he sees, is perfect.
Thank you very much, Hank. God bless you. I praise God for bestowing his knowledge on you like he has, and helping so many people. I thank you very much.
You got it, my friend. Thank you so much. In our prayers, I'm sure that not only I, but many other people that have heard this call will be in prayer for you and your wife. The Lord is good. His plans are perfect. Look forward to seeing you right back here tomorrow with more of the show. Once again, a thank you to all those who stand shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach, prayerfully and financially. Deeply appreciated. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Did you know less than 1% of the leaders of house churches in China have any seminary training? And only 2% would even qualify for seminary given education levels and income. To help remedy this situation, CRI has set in motion a 10-year Going Global initiative to provide resources on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering cults in Mandarin and Spanish. Your prayers and support are vital to fulfilling CRI's Going Global initiative. Toward that end, we are offering the book Pray for the World, which provides well-researched information on what God is doing throughout the world and will help direct our prayers for the global church. To receive your copy of Pray for the World as our thanks for your gift in support of CRI's Going Global initiative, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. In The Atheist's Guide to Reality, Enjoying Life Without Illusions, Duke University professor and new atheist philosopher Alex Rosenberg bites the bullet and declares that to be a consistent atheist, you'll have to be comfortable with a certain amount of nihilism, and just in case, there's always Prozac.
Because a growing multitude of college students are drinking deeply from this nihilistic nonsense, we shouldn't be surprised that so many of our national spiritual and cultural indicators are headed south. Graham Veal's concise book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, is an accessible, practical resource for responding to the nihilistic nonsense of New Atheist. To receive your copy of New Atheism, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-transforming outreaches. Or visit equip.org.